Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. I welcome everybody to the Playmaker Podcast. We're excited to get rocking and rolling today. We're going to be talking about events, event follow-up strategies, and do that. We got Ralph Barcy, who is the Senior Director of Global Sales Development at ServiceNow. Ralph, how the heck are you?
I'm fabulous, Gabe. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, like I was saying, you know, sometimes on the podcast I'll say I try to bring on friends, and I've kind of considered Ralph a friend, but then I was saying I've actually never met him. I'm one of like the... You know, over the years, and I was surprised. He said I was like, he must have been a consultant at some point, but he's always been pretty active in sharing a lot of his learnings as a practitioner. So I kind of feel like I know him, but this is the first time we met. So, Ralph, my introduction probably wasn't great. Can you tell us just a little bit more about yourself and what you guys do over there at ServiceNow?
Yeah, of course, Gabe. So I feel like I know you too. You know, our sales and sales development community is a pretty busy one. And I think that we're all pretty tightly connected, even though a lot of people don't want to admit it. So anyway, I'm thrilled to be here. And I feel like I've known you for a while too. And it's good to finally talk to you in person. As you mentioned, I've been at ServiceNow for just over 2.5 years. For those unfamiliar with ServiceNow, you could look up our ticker symbol, which is simply NOW, or visit our website, servicenow.com. But the company was started in 2004. Yep. And when we started, our focus really centered on IT professionals and IT departments. And we offered them an IT service management platform that was so effective and so impactful to the work they were doing that we have since evolved to really address problems that the entire enterprise has.
Yep.
So our SaaS platform now permeates HR, facilities, security operations, customer service management. And at the end of the day, we essentially just allow companies to streamline the manual day-to-day work that they run into issues with on a regular basis. So we just make it easier for people to go to work. So anyway, I'll let the listeners and viewers dig in and learn a little bit more about ServiceNow, but it's just a blast to be here right now overseeing our sales development organization.
Yeah, and a large one at that. I was just looking at it here, and it's large. It's one of probably the larger that you've seen. Now we actually have some old, some good friends. I have a couple good friends. I mean, you guys are a big organization, but you have Dean Robinson, who runs a lot of your customer success over there. Avanish, who does a lot of your channel over there. I actually have a couple people. Matt Oldner, yeah, look, you guys have some good people over there.
I'm partial, of course, but we have a lot of fabulous people over here, especially those at the helm of the organization. We just, you know, we really believe in our leadership team, and they're helping us head north.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I know you guys are doing some great stuff. One quick question before we get into this topic at hand. Maybe two. Outside of work, anything you're passionate about, embarrassing moments, anything kind of come to mind?
Oh, too many embarrassing moments, number one. But sure, yeah, I'm a family guy. I'm passionate about my wife and my three boys who are growing like weeds right now, which is unbelievable. But I also am a co-founder and board member of a nonprofit organization. It's called Gable Heartbeats Foundation. Mm-hmm. And essentially what we do is we put AEDs, defibrillators, in school gymnasiums and on sports fields and in sports complexes where they're needed most when an athlete, God help us, experiences sudden cardiac arrest. There's something there to help them. And we also help fund heart screenings to mitigate sudden cardiac arrest altogether. So that's what I'm passionate about right now.
And that's called, tell us the name one more time.
Sure. It's called Gable Heartbeats Foundation.
Yeah, I see it here. Gable Heartbeats Foundation. God, that is interesting. You know, certainly the cardiac arrest, I mean, that seems to be, I mean, we see these athletes kind of dropping. I mean, it doesn't happen every day, but surprisingly, I feel like I read about that, I don't know, once a month in the news, some athlete just just went, is gone, you know, right kind of on the field of play, which seems odd, but yeah, how are we stopping that? Interesting. Gable Heartbeats Foundation. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, please do. And we're working very hard to prevent those types of situations, Gabe, because they're happening. Although you said it is once in a while, it's still too many times.
Totally. Totally.
We're here to fix that.
Interesting. Then one other thing I like to ask, I mean, Ralph, you've obviously, you manage a big team, big org. You've been at multiple different companies doing similar activities. If you ran into someone, a sales development rep or an account development rep trying to get up, wanting to be a leader, is there any quick words of advice that you'd say if you only had kind of that 30-second window?
Yeah, sure. I would probably say act as if.
Yeah.
You know, I think once you decide in your mind, hey, you know what? I'm a leader. I'm someone who can serve this organization and the people around me, and I can make an impact and I can inspire others. Suddenly you'll start acting like that and illustrating that in your everyday work. And that's how leaders are born. They attract opportunities to them by treating people like that.
Man, that's I think someone gave me that advice once, you know, start acting in the job that you want, you know, and then you'll get that job. And I love it. I love it, man. Well, let's get into this topic here. You know, I was going back and forth with you just a little bit as we were debating, you know, what we should talk about. And I came across a recent LinkedIn article you had written, very recent, here in just the last couple of days. Use these sales fundamentals for effective post-event follow-up. And it sounds like you had a little bit of an experience, maybe not the best experience, but you turned it into a positive. Sounds like it ended well. And there were certainly some key learnings in it. And I was hoping to get into mostly the learnings, but can you just set up real quick the context of kind of what happened here a few days ago, it sounds like?
Happy to. So yeah, I had not only attended a conference, but I spoke at a conference as a presenter, and about a week had passed and I got a phone call from what turned out to be the team lead of their sales development team, and just did the typical event follow-up with the attendees, but asked the question, what'd you think of, it wasn't even what'd you think of the event. It was basically, we saw that you were at the event. Did you have any questions? And it took me aback. I asked the person, hey, are you an SDR? It turns out they were, and were the team lead of the sales development organization, which really took me back because it's another passion of mine, of course. And it's the community you and I work in.
Right, right.
And I basically spun that conversation, which didn't last very long, into as constructive a dialogue as I could. And I tried to be very tactful and kind and calm without kind of losing my mind on this guy. But I said, hey, look, if you just did a few minutes of research, you would have noticed, number one, I presented at the conference. I didn't just attend. Number two, I'm connected by first degree to 8 of the people in your organization, including a lot of your senior leaders. And I think if you just had those 2 pieces of information and insight, this would have been a much better call, a much better experience for both of us. So, you know, you're representing me, you're representing Gabe, you're representing the sales development and sales profession and community. Like, come on, my man, you got to represent us well. And, you know, take the time to do that work and measure twice and cut once before you pick up the phone and make that type of phone call.
Yeah, I love that line.
So I wrote about it.
I love that line, this kind of measure twice, cut once concept. But it ultimately, just bring it to the end. I mean, it sounds like, although there was some, you know, maybe some words of coaching or some advice given, certainly I'm looking at it here. He wrote back and, was very appreciative, and it sounds like it turned out to be very positive kind of for, you know, both of you, to be honest. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair to say. And I think it really came down to just my tone. I was talking to him like I'm talking to you. I didn't berate the guy. I've seen far too often these days, you know, a lot of sales development reps just getting ripped to pieces publicly on LinkedIn, Twitter, and other channels. And it breaks my heart that people treat others like that.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's the last thing I wanted to do in providing this constructive feedback. He ended up reaching out to me to connect on LinkedIn. I ended up meeting him in person, and it's all good now. And I just I hope it was the real teaching moment for him, and he can go back and again pay it forward with the SDRs that he now oversees.
I believe it, and I believe he will. So let's get into this concept. Number one, certainly this is not This is, I think it happens all the time. I mean, you know, we run this event, and then for whatever reason, and I'd be interested in your opinion on that kind of first and foremost, but for whatever reason, people, we dump a list to these sales development reps and they kind of just start calling. Do you feel like one of the reasons this happens, is it more on like the marketing team, meaning they just gave them a list and, you know, it's just, here's everybody who went to the event, kind of wink, wink. Or is it more, and I'm not trying to get to the blame. I'm trying to get to the, you know, the crux of the problem. Is it more on that sales development rep just being lazy kind of and having a name, but not spending the time, or is it maybe the combo?
You know what? It's the latter. I think it's everybody's fault, Gabe. And I mean that from the leadership of that company to marketing, to sales, to the sales development leader. And also let's think about this. We're all big boys and big girls. We're all professionals. If somebody just dumps a list on your desk of attendees that just attended your conference or one of your events that you happen to have a booth at, for example, and gave you no intel or insight, we've got Google. You know, we've got all the names of the people that are on that list. Look up those people. And just start with open-ended. Why did you go in the first place? What was it that piqued your interest?
Yeah.
Who were you there to see? Do a little due diligence and find out who the keynote was if you weren't there, and find out what did they talk about. And maybe you could say, hey, I understand Gabe Larson did the keynote. And I also understand he talked about ABC. Are these business issues right now that your organization's experiencing? And if so, how would you stack rank them worst to least worst, so that maybe we can help you address some of them? It's common sense.
Yeah. Do you feel like, I mean, I've debated with some sales development leaders because you're probably, I mean, it probably is a combination of multiple guilty parties. You know, sometimes the sales development rep or the account development rep is a little too lazy to do anything. And sometimes the marketing team maybe just did throw a list and they didn't even know, and a lead appears in front of them and they just press the button to call. Do you feel like, well, I guess maybe the obvious answer is yes, but sometimes I've heard people say, you know, it doesn't matter that much. Like, you can just say, hey, you know, did you attend the event? Oh, you didn't. You know, what questions can I answer? Will you buy my service? Do you feel like that context, like you were just kind of saying, I mean, if I knew from that list that he did attend or she did attend that session, and I could reference it and say, hey, it looks like you attended the keynote and or this breakout, did you find it interesting when they spoke about XY? Does that added context really make a lot of difference, or is it not, it's not worth the effort to try to align those two pieces?
You know, what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want to put in those yes, no questions from the outset, you're going to get yes, no answers right out of the gate, and you're going to have a hard time establishing flow of conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, connect the dots for people. Gabe, I saw that you attended this event. In fact, I just got a list of all 50 attendees that were at that session. And I do know that the session talked about ABC. I just wanted to reach out to you today to let you know who we were, who I was, and should it make sense further down the line for our companies to start talking, I want to make sure that you know how to reach me and that we get a seat at the table if you're looking deeper into evaluating what we might be able to offer you. I mean, just be human about it.
Yeah. It just humanizes it and personalizes a little bit. What is you think about, and certainly, guys, if you haven't seen the article, you'll find it on Ralph's LinkedIn profile. You mentioned the concept of the 3x3 research. You even, you know, give a couple examples of way to do that, but obviously the audience isn't looking at that. Can you, as we think about best practices around that, and you've hinted at a little bit, you know, you get what you put in, make it a little more personalized. Can you talk about some principles you've found to be effective, like the 3x3, that does allow you to maybe move from generic to personal?
Sure. So first of all, 3x3 or 3 in 3, I got from my good friend, Steve Richards from Exec Vision. And Steve was also a co-founder of what's now Voresight BP. And the concept is, you know, before you pick up the phone and make a phone call into a company or to a key call point, you've got to have three pieces of intelligence or insight that's going to make the conversation, which will probably last 3 minutes, relevant. So what three pieces of info can you bring up in 3 minutes time that's going to move the needle?
Yeah.
So that's where the 3 in 3 concept comes from. And once you start to drill into what those three relevant pieces of intel are, it runs the gamut. It could be about the marketplace. It could be about their competitors. It could be about their company or the person in particular you're calling. You might have a mutual connection to them, something that's going to establish some common ground and get you working on building your credibility and rapport within those 3 minutes so that you can earn the right to have three more minutes in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like that's not too much to ask. I like to your point, Steve's point. I mean, 3 minutes, I've often found, you know, sometimes I've joked with Steve and said, I'm sometimes like a 3x30, like sometimes I can find three things in 30 seconds, you know? I mean, just while sometimes like the phone is ringing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not that difficult sometimes to find, like you said, eight connections, common connect. That's literally a 5 second activity. And I only say that is certainly sometimes more the better. Well, to a certain degree, let's not research for hours, which I've seen happen. But come on, guys. I mean, it is one of those quick things that you often can fairly quickly pull something out. Outside of that, and you hit on a couple examples and making sure that you hit kind of the right conversation flow or mentioning the actual session, has there been a couple other principles you found in event follow-up that you've thought, hey, man, this is just a great way to make sure that you tie the bow on it or put the cherry on top?
Yeah, so we could get specific, but just to stay at a macro level, the best practices I've seen, Gabe, really center on having the three and three, right? Second would be have a list of conversation starters that are open-ended questions, for example, versus what we mentioned earlier, the yes, no's. Because when you start pulling out the yes, no's out of your back pocket, you only have a handful of them to use. And if it's no, no, no for the first three questions, you're painting yourself into a corner and now you're kind of screwed and you've got to come up with an open-ended question quick to kind of get out of that predicament. And then lastly, I would say it's just about connecting dots for people. Tell them why you're calling, what the aim of the call is or the objective. And hey, if this works out, I would eventually like to connect you to my colleague Gabe. He would talk to you either next week or next quarter, whatever accommodated your need and your schedule. But I'm probably going to ask you about 5 to 8 questions over the next 3 minutes just to get some information and intel because you attended our conference and we wanted to make sure that it was top-notch experience for you, et cetera, et cetera, and connect the dots for them.
I like those three principles. You're right. Yeah, it sounds like you've been around the block here just a few times, Ralph. But one more question before I kind of let you get back to your day job. I mean, I'm going to take it out of event follow-up for just a minute and go just big picture account development or sales development here. I mean, you've obviously managed large teams. You've been an individual contributor. You've managed smaller teams. I assume you know here in the probably the deeper path. If you had to give kind of this SDR leader a couple pieces of advice, who's taking over a team of, you know, 12, 15, or 20, and it's maybe their first management experience, or you know, it's the first time they've got a big team. Is there some real key principles for managing and scaling a sales development team that you're like, man, you've just got to nail you guys in order to win?
Oh, yeah. So we could spend an hour on this one.
I know. I'm throwing a curve on you. But
so number one, and these are in no particular order, okay? I'm just going to rattle off a couple that come to mind right away. Number one, you have to be such a great communicator.
Yeah.
You have to know that if you're speaking to people in person, for example, in a team meeting setting, you have to use inflections when it's important, or you have to quiet down when it's important, or you have to leverage silence and let the silence do the work. That's critical. In your communication efforts, both speaking and writing, they must be consistent. They must always reinforce the mission, what the team is aiming to achieve and by when, and how everybody in the organization plays a part in the collective effort to achieve the mission, acquire the target, is imperative. And that's just the communication thing.
Yep.
I'll pause in case you want to elaborate or ask a question on that.
No, I want to see if we can get, I've got one or two things to maybe follow up, but keep going. I want to get this quick list of top three here.
Yeah, another thing that comes to mind is, it doesn't matter, in my opinion, how big your organization is, you as the leader must make the effort to get to know as best as you can each individual person in your organization. Yeah. And when you get to know them personally, and if you can even take it a step further and understand their purpose, what their short, mid, long-term goals are, who in the professional world they're trying to emulate, where they're trying to get to and by when, when they hit that rough patch or those dark days or that tough quarter, and you can help remind them of the purpose as to why they're getting out of bed every morning to come to work at your company, you will help relight the fire within them. A lot of SDRs and salespeople and even the leaders feel like the leader is the one who's supposed to motivate everybody. No. The leader's supposed to remind them of what motivates them. So that fire is lit from within and they become self-starters and they feel pulled towards the goal versus pushed towards the goal by the leader.
Yeah, you know.
The last thing I'll say is don't forget, and it segues nicely from what I just said, don't forget this is a business comprised of people.
They are
humans. Use basic human psychology. Look people in the eyes.
Yeah.
Give people the benefit of the doubt. Put a 10 on their forehead. Shake their hands firmly. Look at them in the eyes. Call them by their first name. You know, basically care. Care. And also see yourself as best as you can as a servant leader. I'm so tired of leaders who think they really are at the top of the org chart and they're looking down on their people. You need to look up and serve up into the organization and help move obstacles out of the way so people can get where they need to go.
Yeah, you know.
That is the advice I'd give.
Yeah, and it's funny because especially in the sales development world, you'll see those posts on LinkedIn where someone, I mean, it's a tough job, number one, but number two.
One of the toughest.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like they're not lesser humans. And I mean, I say that obviously jokingly, but it's, you know, sometimes they both sides of the barn kind of hit them, right? It's the marketing team says they're terrible at doing what they're doing. And the sales team says what they're terrible. And sometimes I think they feel like they're lesser humans and they don't have a career. I mean, it's tough, right? And so I think if you want that, you're right. If you want that function to really role, you've got to kind of say, I might be above them in an org chart, but they're still humans. We see eye to eye as humans, right?
You know what else, Gabe? And on the human psychology tip, in my experience, I've noticed as my teams get bigger and bigger, and I guess my brand in many respects gets bigger and bigger, my contingent of haters or dislikers grows in proportion. And I think that's normal for all humans to keep in mind that, hey man, you're not going to resonate with everybody. You're just not. Yeah. I think people are a lot like tuning forks and they're tuned to a specific frequency or pitch.
Yep.
And if I walk into a room and go, "What up, everybody?" Those who are tuned to the same frequency as me will go, "What up, Ralph?"
Yeah.
Where the others will be like, "Who is this guy?" You know what I mean? So if you go through life knowing that you're not going to please everybody, and frankly, you're not the center of the universe, it'll help you get out of your head. And you'll stop tripping out so much on what people think about you, especially your team.
Yeah.
And you'll stay focused on what is the mission, what is the messaging, and really, how can I still, even though this person isn't a big fan of me, how can I still help them go from X to Y and do a great job?
Yeah, you just can't please everybody, right? That's just the way it works.
Breaks my heart.
You're right.
I default to loving everybody, and it doesn't always work out that's the other way.
They still don't like it, man.
Totally.
You win some, you lose some. Well, Ralph, I really appreciate as we wrap here. If someone wants to get a hold of you or catch some of your content, learn a little bit more about you, any recommendations on how to do that?
Sure, absolutely. So I have a blog, ralphbarcy.com, pretty simple. Go ahead and subscribe if you want to receive some consistent material and updates from me. Number two, you mentioned on LinkedIn, it's /Ralph Barcy. And on Twitter, I'm @rbarcy. And you'll find me all three of those.
Yeah, you will. Just type in Ralph Barcy, guys. You'll find him in one of those channels. So again, Ralph, really appreciate your time. For the audience, remember, success is just one play away.